Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up? You rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee. You are rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee, and I am L-I-V-E live. Once again, L-I-V-E live. Live here, Four Quarters with Coach Lee. You know, we do what we do on Blog Talk Radio. WFB Talk continues, that is. Yes, y'all. I'm the host with the most, y'all. And it is a rocking Monday night. Man, 3 weeks away. 3 weeks away. 3 weeks away. We are 3 weeks away for the season. Well, actually, for me, we start up on the 26th. Was that 3 weeks? Something like that. Let me see. Let me count. 2.5 weeks. Man. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We got the jackpot bowl jumping off on March 26th. We are rocking and rolling. Football is in the air. It's warming up here in Vegas. I can finally go out there and coach without freezing my buns off. Woo! I'm excited. But you know what? Let me get on with the show before I explode with all this footballness that I got in it. But anyway, Let's just bring on, you know, who brought the show to you. You know, we got Adidas, my Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas. We all should be rocking Adidas. We got Rogers Athletic Company, the official athletic equipment for the Women's Football Camp and Conference and the Las Vegas Show Girls. We got Enterprise. Why pick Enterprise? Because they will pick you up. Man, every time I get started on my show live, I got some. Hold on.
There's a mom here that wants to know if Team
3
you can have practices today.
No. There's no practice for this. They practice on Friday, but they're not practicing today. Coach just called me 30 minutes ago.
Okay. All right, then.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Yes, I am L-I-V-E. L-I-V-E. And, yes, I do get interrupted at times, but I'm still rocking the show like I always do. But anyway, let me see, make sure I got all my sponsors. Oh, no, I missed 22nd Fitness. Yes, 22nd Fitness, where the fit gets fitter. And the Women's Football Camp and Conference is where the good get better. So let's roll and rock and rock and roll. Move on forward into the show. You know, because we talk deepness here with Four Quarters with Coach Lee, because we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's kick it off like we do. And it's a deep, deep, deep kick. Yes, it is deep, because that's what we do on Four Quarters Coach Lee. We talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Just let you guys know, my daughter's in the background, and she's laughing at me because she has never been in tune with Four Quarters with Coach Lee. She's doing a little project for me, and she is busting up laughing. I think I'm embarrassing. Am I embarrassing you, baby?
No.
Okay. She said no, because that's just how I am, you guys. This is me. You guys think it's just the show. No, but this is me. I'm nuts like this. But, yes, let's go ahead and move on. Quarter number one. Had to get that out there for my girl, JK. I know she's out there listening somewhere. But quarter number one, the 2011 preseason rankings are out. And, boy, oh, boy, are there some underwear tied up in some people's pants on that. You know, it's funny. We want to talk about women's football. We want to be nice, but when somebody puts their opinion out there or they're researching what they do and think they're an expert at, we always got those Debbie Downers out there. You know, those people who just don't give credit for what crazies do, but who won't do the work, but just sit there and just bring everything down. And that kind of got to me this morning when I actually posted the 2011 rankings, again, from easyfootballrankings.com. Again, easyfootballrankings.com. But let me back up a little bit. I forgot to let you guys know. You can always call in. 847-826-7278. Press 1 and pound. And my super-duper producer, DJ, will definitely put you on in. And again, I hope this is the show that people want to call in. Because, you know, when you talk about rankings, when you talk about what people see or project where others are at, and you're either in the fold or out the fold, you got something to complain about. So, you know, I'm expecting people to call in. I don't care. You know me, I can talk for the whole hour by myself, or I can have the special guests that are out there. But let me throw a shout-out to my folks over in the Ningbo. You can always catch me at womenstacklefootballgroup.ning.com. We got my girl BJ, we got Casey, we got Dave, of course myself, we got Food, and we got Jennifer. So again, there are peeps out there that are on the phone. Hey, just press 1 and pound and you can talk. But we're going to talk about, you know what I'm saying, what was I talking about? Rankings. Let me pull that up real quick. For those who want to interact with me, I am on the Women's Tackle Football Group.meme.com board. You can hit me live in the chat room. I shout out to you, do whatever, whatever, whatever. But preseason rankings. All right. And let's talk about it, because that's what it's out there about. You know, some people get all screwed up thinking rankings don't mean crap. Well, they don't. Of course, ultimately, the game itself is played out on the field. It's not played out on the computer. It's not played out on the books. It's played out on the field. But preseason rankings get you talking. It gets you fired up. As coaches, you can use it as a, hey, we either the target or we shooting at that target, one or the other. You use it for what you got to use it for, but have fun with it. I'm tired of you Debbie Downers out there, you know what I'm saying? I don't care if I'm in it or out of it. Been there, done that, all the other good stuff, okay? So let's go ahead and start off with the IWFL rankings. That's 2011 IWFL preseason rankings. As of February 21st, again, easyfootballrankings.com. And again, I don't know what the formula is. That's why they got the website to tell you what the formula is. I just call it like I see it, or see it as I call it. So right now in the IWFL, they got the Sacramento Sirens as the number one team. They got the California Quake as the number two team. They got the Carolina Phoenix as the number three team. They got the Seattle Majestics at the number four team. Coming in at number five, they got the Atlanta Explosion. And I should have did it backwards. But you know what? I like starting from the top and going to the bottom and going from the bottom back to the top, because you're rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee. That's why. Yes, I'm hyped. I'm hyped because I'm talking football, y'all. I'm talking about football. The F, the O, the T, the B, the A, the L, the L. I'm talking about football. Number 6, we got Montreal Blitz. We got number 7, the Clarksville Box. We got number 8, the Houston Energy. Number 9, we got the Iowa Crush. And number 10, the New England Intensity. Am I in agreement with this? I'm going to say no, because that's my humble opinion. But you know what? It gets me to talking, you know. Can I see Sacramento Sirens being number 1? Yes. You know, just based on the history of the organization, I don't care who's coming back. I don't care who the coaches are. The fact is, you only can go by the past to project what the future has in store until week number 1. So when preseason started, I'm feeling right now that the Sacramento Sirens are the number 1 team in IWFL. Why wouldn't they be? I don't know. You know, it's kind of losing. I'm losing my mind. I know they made it to the championship last year, but it's slipping my mind who the actual champs were last year. That sounds sickening, but I think it was Boston, if I'm not mistaken. So, yes, if Boston is gone and Sacramento's coming back, then guess what? Sacramento's number 1 in my book. I've actually had the opportunity to play that organization 3 years ago, and they were on their back on their upswing. Folks forget, they 3 times IWFL back-to-back-to-back champs. 3-peaters, you know? A good organization is a good organization. You replace the people that were in it as long as you still got the good foundation. And I really feel that Sacramento has a good foundation and is deserving of that number 1 ranking. You know, to be the runner-up from last year's team, why wouldn't they be? It just makes sense. You know, a lot of people out there don't like rankings. They think it's a bunch of hoopla, boo-la. You know, my thing is it's a conversational piece. You know, it's a projection of how people perceive you to be as an organization, you know, based on what you did last year and hoping that you improve on this year. If you're one of those organizations that fall apart and have to start all over each and every year, then your ranking is pretty much predicted by that. How do you use that one, babe? Yeah, that one. So, again, there's nothing wrong with the ranking. Nothing wrong with the system. Again, it's played out on the football field. And we'll get there, you know. But let me keep going on. I'm just checking over here real quick on something. You know, the California Quake. That's a big surprise to me. Not to say that they're not up and coming, but I think their best year, in my humble opinion, once again, was 2008 season. Coach Penn does a great job with that group. And I know he has a large set of rookies. And if Zachy comes back, she's something to deal with. And it'll be between the Sacramento Sirens and the California Quake here on the West Coast. I think that some other teams are out there that might be better, but I can know those two teams here from the West Coast. If Jenny Kwan comes back, that fullback and linebacker, oh, my goodness. And if you just add a couple more pieces to the Sacramento team, and you add a couple pieces with what Coach Penn has built up with the California Quake, you know, it's a possibility. But only one of those teams will be in the championship West, representing the West. That's just plain and simple. So, again, it's a talking tool. And like I said, Zachy is probably one of the best running backs I've ever seen in women's football outside of Jessica Springer. Jessica Springer is more of an intimidating fear factor type of running back because that's a big girl. But Zachy is probably one of the purest runners I've ever seen. Run the ball, period, be it male or female. I'm really in love with Monique Zachy because she's a Cal State University Long Beach 49er like myself. But on the real, the girl got skills, she got speed, she got moves, she got power when she wants to, and knowing Coach Penn, he's going to feed her the rock. I know the year that I played against him, she carried the ball 25 times, 30 times a game. Don't know if her body can withstand that at this point in her career. But you know what? Hey, to each their own. All right, let me move on down. Carolina Phoenix has got to be one of my favorite teams. I'm thinking they're deserving of a top five preseason ranking. I think they went 9-0 last year until they got to the playoffs and lost to the Blitz. The Blitz has been their storm for the last 2.5 years, 3 years. But I know Coach. I know Coach is getting some things together. I know he's preparing well over there on the East Coast. The Seattle Majestics, again, from what I know and what I've seen on tape, hey, got lots of skills. I'm really going with a new coaching staff, or they're looking for a coaching staff. Last year with a new coaching staff, they had some turnover. They lost more games last year than I've seen before. They lost to the Portland Shockwave twice, which was unheard of, or a big surprise, as I call it. You know, I think the Atlanta Explosion are bringing it back this year. But there are two new teams out in the Atlanta / Georgia area that might be taking away some talent pool. We don't know that. But, again, just going on history, you know, going back to number 16, the Montreal Blitz. They've been in the Tier 2 championship for 2 years in a row. Folks have been arguing, why are they even in a Tier 2? Just because they crossed the border don't mean that they should be Tier 2. So, again, I really think that top six is definitely in place. You can mix and match those teams in and around, but the top six, I feel 100% that those are probably the top six teams in the IWFL this year. When it comes down to Clarksville, I know they were in the Tier 2 championship 2 years ago. I don't know what happened to them last year. Matter of fact, the owner still owed me a case of beer because we had a bet on that game 2 years ago, and he still ain't paid up. So if you guys run into the owner/coach of the Clarksville Fox, tell him Coach Lee said what's up and where his case of beer at, because I told him he wasn't going to beat the Montreal Blitz. But anyway, no hard feelings, just a thirsty, dry throat radio host, that's all. Just recollecting and reminiscing on that case of beer, Corona that is, that it was supposed to be sent my way. Then I got my boy from the Houston Energy. He's been down a little bit. You know, since 2008 was his last hurrah in the WPFL, and they lost the championship game. But I know they got an awesome quarterback, Cantu. I mean, she's on point. I know she spent a little time with the Dallas Diamonds. During that off season, came back last year, and the Energy weren't the Energy of old. I mean, you know, when you take off a year, you start from ground zero, and two teams started off the Energy, which would have been H-Town Cyclones, which won a championship in the NWFA, and then you have the Houston Power. So again, there's been some talent pull away from the Energy, but knowing Bryant Wiggins, that is. He didn't went out there and recruit. Like I said, man, he's a college guy. He didn't play pro ball. He's been recruited. He's been a recruiter. So I know he's going to get the energy back up. So, again, they might be in the mix this year. The Iowa Crush, I don't know much about. If I'm not mistaken, they haven't had a winning season as of yet. I might be wrong on that one. I don't know. BJ, help me out on that. Somebody on the Ning board, help me out. And then we got the New England Intensity. I am familiar with that organization when they were with the WPFL. They were pretty strong. They went back, lost a lot of people. And, you know, they're on the uprise. But out of this situation, I'm definitely throwing out my predictions. I don't even know if they're in the same division. I probably got to do some research. But let me check that out real quick before I make this stupid prediction without looking, because then I'll really look dumb if I make a prediction and both teams are in the same division. So let me go take a chance. Let me go take a look. Have a chance to look and see my prediction from these rankings, who I got in IWFL championship game. See, I don't know if they have it in the – I'm just going to do this because it's not – clearly defined on who's on what coast and who's on the east or west or whatever. They just got them broken down into divisions. But I am going with the Houston Energy versus the Sacramento Kings. Sacramento Kings. My Lakers destroyed those Kings. But the Sacramento Sirens in the championship. I don't even know if that's possible. If somebody can alert me and let me know if that's possible. But that's what I'm rolling with. I am rolling with it. Thank you, Boo, for that expertise advice on the Crush. Yeah, I didn't think they had a winning record last year, so that would be one of my questionable teams. And, yes, I knew that they went 0-8 before that. I didn't know what they were last year. Improving, but don't seem as top-shelf team. I'm 100% with you on that, Boo. So, again, I am predicting that the Houston Energy and the Sacramento Sirens in the championship. And I definitely feel that, hey, that the preseason rankings for the IWFL is a definite a topic to talk about. And, again, it's a start. You know, like I said on the name board, you know, have fun with it. You know, use it as you being the target or target somebody else to go after. Use it as motivation. Do what you got to do. You know, if you're not on there and you think you're a good team, then feel disrespected. Use that as motivation. I love it. I love it. I love it when I'm disrespected or not included or not mentioned. I don't sit up here and bitch and complain about it. That's just how you feel. Okay, no problem. We're going to sleep on you. And next thing you know, bam, we 9-0. It's been done 2 years in a row. But anyway, moving on. Because I got to get to the WFA. I know everybody out there in Fort Quarterland is just waiting on me to do the WFA. So let me go on. Moving on. Do I got any callers, BJ? Anybody want to complain? Anybody want to, you know, harp on some of those teams? Or am I out of my mind? I mean, I know more about a lot of these teams and a lot of you guys out there put together because, again, this is what I do. I look into these things. I look at rosters. I look at returning players. I look at stats. You know, that's my assumption is because I look into it and do my homework. You know, so I'm not too far-fetched. And I don't think that the IWFL rankings are too far-fetched. Like I said, from 1 to 6, you can put any of those teams, mix them up into a puzzle, and you still be okay. You know, but they're not a definite team that is like superpower. And I understand that because, you know, we don't have all the returning players. All right. Got lots of listeners on the phone. Don't be scared. You just rocking 4 quarters of Coach Lee. You got something to say. Hey, you know, that's what this is all about. But, hey, you know, we'll move on. Food wants to know which coach is ranked as most likely to have diarrhea fit in the middle of the game in 2000. I'm saying me. I'm going to say me. because I talk a lot. I talk a lot of trash. I just hope we can bag it up. You know, that's my motivation. So, you know, give me a couple of boxes of Chippehoy cookies and a half a gallon of milk, and I definitely will be having diarrhea during the game, but I love milk and I love chocolate chip cookies. But moving on, food. See, you got me talking about food. Let's move on. Here we go. Let's go, 2011 WFA preseason rankings. We got 2011 WFA preseason rankings brought to you by EasyFootballRankings.com. Again, just go to www.EasyFootballRankings.com. That's EasyFootballRankings.com. All right, here we go. Number one, Lone Star Mustangs. Why not? They're the defending champs. Why wouldn't they be number one? I don't know. But you know what? That's a good call. We got Boston number two. Why not? They were number one in the IWFL. Then we got number three, Pittsburgh Passion. Number four, Jacksonville Dixie Blues. Number five, Minnesota Machine. Number six, Dallas Diamonds. Number seven, St. Louis Slam. Number eight, Philadelphia Liberty Bells. Number nine, the Los Angeles. I was about to say the Los Angeles. I just talked to Duncan tonight, so he was a little upset. So he's on my mind. I love you, Duncan, with the L.A. Amazons. I love you. And we don't get there. But we got the Las Vegas Showgirls. You know, like the University of whatever. Anyway, but anyway, Las Vegas Showgirls. Number 10, the Columbus Comets. Number 11, the Bay Area Bandits. Number 12, the Detroit Dark Angels. Uh-oh, I'm getting a little feedback. Number 13, West Michigan Mayhem. Number 14, the SoCal Scorpions. And number 15, the New York Sharks. Woo! And we still got 45 more teams to go if we went that deep. But they went with the top 15 from their perception, from their eyes. And I can go through each and every one of these teams and say, and give you the yay and the nay on it. Okay? The yay and the nay. That's what I plan on doing, because that's what I do here on Four Quarters with Coach Lee. You know that. I give it to you like I give it to you. I give it to you straight up. You know? Coach Ring want to know how come the Comets fell so far. Weren't they in championship against Lone Star? Yes, they were. You know, it's just how things shaped up. There's nothing wrong with that. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. There's probably 25 teams that you can exchange at this level. And, you know, there's not much difference between the number one team and the number. I ain't going to go that far. I can't stretch it to 25. But there's no difference between the best 20 teams in America. But anyway, somebody's always going to feel left out. And I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm just going to give it to you like I give it to you, because you're rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee. And like I said, I think the Lone Star Mustangs deserve to be number one. Why not? Their last game they won, they had a chance. So why wouldn't they be? Now, we don't know who's coming back. We don't know how many rookies. Yes. But again, great organization, great coaches, great system. Again, you can plug in any good athlete in any good system with good coaches and still have a great product. A lot of you non-football people out there don't understand that. Well, how can you predict that? Well, damn it, if you got a good system, you got good coaches, you got a good organization, and you can recruit good players or replaceable players or replaceable parts, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. That's the reality about football. That's the reality of being a recruiter. Now, if you just say, hey, we're coming, we're having tryouts, and you come and play, would you want to play, and you ain't recruiting, then you unpredictable. You don't know what's going on. But I know Mike. I know Coach Mike over at Lone Star. He ain't just going to get anybody and put any warm body in no uniform talking about representing the Mustangs. They got too much to lose to do that. Plus, they got the Dallas Diamonds in the same backyard. Come on now. You can't sleep. Then we got Boston. Once again, the defending IWFL champs. You know? I don't know too much about that East and Northeast area because I have not played a team from that area as of yet in my 6 years. But from what I see, from what I research, from what I stats, again, good system, good coach, good organization. Get good players. We'll win. Pittsburgh Passion. I didn't really follow them as much last year, but I can say they are the media darlings on the East Coast. They are the television for women's football to be on, you know, sports or Fox Sports. So I've seen them in the past. Again, good coaches, good system, good organization, you're going to stay on top. An organization that's good all the way around ain't going to fall too far on their face. Jacksonville Dixie Blues. That one, wow. I'm feeling that they're a little bit too hot. They haven't been able to get over the hump. They haven't had the competition. I'm not knowing much about the organization. I'm not knowing much about the coaching staff. But they get the results. So in my mind, I'm thinking that this Jacksonville Dixie Blues might be a little high. Minnesota Machine. Again, I think a little bit too high in the rankings, just based off of last year. But I know what they're doing. I know they got a good program. I know that the women there are sincere and really want to learn. They got a great ex-NFL guy as their head coach. They do the marketing thing. I've seen it at the camp. They came 10 deep last year. So I know they have the drive. I just don't know if they have the skills as of yet to be as high as five. But, hey, that's why it's preseason. That's why I get to say yay or nay. I'm not disrespecting anybody here. I'm just telling you like I see it, telling you like I know it. But, again, if the rest of the team is like the 10 women that came out here to Vegas for the women's football camp, then, yes, they deserve to be where they're at. You know, it's just going to be like that. It's just going to be like that. Let's see. The Dallas Diamonds. Wow, you got two teams from the same city that play in the same stadium in the top 10. That's a lot of talent in Dallas. And Dallas Diamonds have been the premier team for the last, at least 8 years I've been around football. So, again, great organization, great coaching staff, great system. Creates a winning organization. I'm trying to put that through real thick because there's a lot of thick-head players out there who feel that they're so good that they can leave. It can't be replaced. BS. If you got four of the five elements, once again, what's those elements again? Great organization, great coaches, great system. What else is that? Oh, I missed one. Maybe it's three out of four elements. Uh-oh. And then you have great players. If you miss one of those elements, you can improve. You can replace great players with great players. You can replace great coaches with great coaches. You can place a great organization with other good organizational people. But you can't replace them all at one time. But if you keep three of the four in place, you okay. The Dallas Diamonds are okay. They only had one fall off the year 2008. WPFL. Outside of that, from 2005 to 2010, they've been one of the premier teams in the nation. So they deserve it. The St. Louis Lamb had a great season last year, lost in the playoffs, was the defending WFA champs of 2009. Again, all I can say, great coaching staff, great organization, great system. Replace the players. Philadelphia Liberty Bells, number 8. Again, I'm talking about what? Great organization. I know I'm sounding redundant, but this is why these teams are here. They're here because they're great organizations, great coaches, good system. And then, of course, the players come in and play. Here's probably the biggest controversy of all the top 15. Guess who? Dun, 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 dun. The Las Vegas Showgirls. Again, anybody with common sense is going to say, great organization, great coaches, great system, but where's the players? They, again, any great coach, any good coach is going to put together a team because they're going to go out there and recruit. And I'm telling you straight up, the Las Vegas Showgirls have recruited because I'm Mr. Showgirl. We got 37 strong. I have only four players returning. Only one of the four was a starter all season long. And they were rookies last year. But guess what? We're here. Maybe we ranked a little high. Maybe that should be the Silver State legacy. That should be the Silver State legacy at number 9. Because they got all the talent. But again, they got all the talent. But do they have the other three elements? Must I mention those three elements again? Great organization, great coaches, good system. We don't know. It's unproven. It's unproven. So this is where it's going to get kind of shaky and funky within the WFA as far as the rankings are concerned. Showgirls are going off of perception and historical. But in reality, that should be the Silver State legacy because that's where all the players went. But they're going to prove my theory one way or another. that you can put a bunch of great players together and not have good coaches, not have a good organization, and not have a good system, and just be a mediocre team. That's going to be the proving grounds. So, yes, Las Vegas Showgirls are there because we have three of the four elements. You guys just don't know the fourth element. You don't know what kind of players I got. You don't know. Won't know until 2 weeks from now when we kick that Utah Jinx butt right here in the Jackpot Bowl in Las Vegas, Nevada on March 26th. And you can hear it right here on Blog Talk Radio live. But anyway, let me move on. See, I get hyped up. I love this. This is like right down my alley. I'm Mr. Poop Talker. You know what I'm saying? I am Poop Talker, but you know I'm a realist too. I ain't saying we going undefeated, but I believe we can. If I didn't believe it, then why would I even talk about it to my girls? Why would I even hype them up if they're not good? You know, we might always just roll over. Just like me and Duncan had to talk this evening when he seen the rankings. I told him the rankings. He said, what about the Amazons? We just ain't going to lay, you know, roll over and take it. We going to fight, Lee. We going to fight. That's my boy Duncan. We going to fight, Lee. Because he called about my last name. Lee, we going to fight. People don't, you know what, we going to show up. Don't sleep on us. Don't sleep on them showgirls. I've been slept on for 2 years. I use this as motivation. That's why we kick everybody's butt. Because of this. Moving on. Number 10, we got the Columbus Comets. Hey, you know what? Again, good organization, good system, good coaches. Are they able to retain the same players? I don't know. But again, if you got the three and they out recruiting, they got a great system. I watched them in the championship game. They're real. They are real. I wish I was playing them. Came 2 points short of playing them. Just right on the field goal from playing them. But you know what? Columbus Comets got it. Now, I don't know what the weather is like out there because, you know, they probably still in a snowstorm right now. They still probably practicing in, you know, in the bathroom or gymnasium or something because it's cold back there. And that might be to their advantage due to the fact that they get to do more film work, get to do more weightlifting, you know, indoor training. But again, that's your top 10. Moving on. Like I said, this show might be all about the rankings tonight. I plan on doing some other stuff, but let me move on. We got the Bay Area Bandits. Again, this is another one that I'm like, yeah, I don't know. They come back after being on hiatus for 2 years. They come back and play. They cure two champs. They did beat the LA Amazons. They lost to the SoCal Scorpions twice. They go out in the championship game, didn't win. I mean, didn't come close to winning, if I'm not mistaken. I forgot the score. One of the games was a blowout. I don't know if it was their game or the other game. I can't recall. Somebody help me out on the meeting board if they remember what the score was. Food, I know you know what that score was because you're a big-time follower. I know, Food, the Bandits would do just fine. You watch and see. I know. But help me out. I don't know what the score was. But the fact is, you know what, it's your two champs. I mean, there we go, 9-2. Thank you. So it was a very competitive score. Yeah, hold on 1 second. Yeah, go ahead. Get on the computer. Yeah, get on it. Walnut 1-2-3. All right. Yeah, my kids are bothering me here. I try to close the door on them. But so again, it's gonna be competitive. We gonna see. But again, what are they bringing to the table? I don't know their system. I don't know. Hey, we got a 626 caller. Put them on. Let's go. Put them on. 626, you rocking four quarters of Coach Lee. Who is it? Where you at? Six, two, six, is that you?
Okay, here it is.
Okay. Mr. Duncan, is that you? I think he hung up. Anyway, he called back. You know, we got. Let me go back to my results here. Here we go. So yeah, we got the Bay Area Bandits. They gonna be in the house, but we will see. It's gonna be some competitive ball. They got to play against the Fresno team out there. I know Fresno is stacked. You know, a couple players from the Warriors that went out there. Casey Brick, the number one running back from their team. Tanya from the one of the linemen out there. You got Lisa King on that team in Fresno, so it's gonna be some heck of football going on. See, I know about what people they moved to, where they been, where they going. You know, Detroit Dark Angels didn't have a winning season last year, but you know what? People are going out to procession that, oh, Detroit Demolition. That must be where they come. The players, they're gonna come back and they're gonna play for that team. They might. We don't know. But you know what? The coaches and the management over there are doing one hell of a job of hyping their team up. I know they rocking the kneeing board. Every time I look around, they got something going on with the kneeing board. So, again, what people hear is what people may think. West Michigan Mayhem, again, another great organization, great coaching staff, and great system. It's just a matter of, again, somebody got to be number one, somebody got to be 13, in my opinion. SoCal Scorpions, another dun-dun-dun. That ain't the same SoCal Scorpions of the past. That should be the San Diego Surge right now. See, for y'all that don't know, see, y'all got to get up on your football game. You know, the San Diego Surge is predominantly all the SoCal Scorpions from last year. They're also the last WPFL champs. They just came back last year after having a two-year hiatus. They come back and played and did pretty good. Now they're coming back under a new name with the same coaching staff. And, you know, I'm being real. That should be the San Diego Surge. The SoCal Scorpions know it. I've talked to Jody. I talked to Ann, you know, owners. I talked to Coach over there. As a matter of fact, Coach is on the kneeing board. What's up, Coach? You know, I'm a realist. So, again, you got two teams on here that shouldn't be on here. They should be called something else. You got the Las Vegas Showgirls. That should be called the Silver State Legacy. And you got the SoCal Scorpions. Should be the San Diego Surge. That's the real. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But you know what? Hey, I'm here. We're here. Scorpions are here. Again, another situation that has always had a great organization, a great system, and great coaches. But I know two, and then, of course, good players. But, see, they're in a situation where they got two of those elements gone. Those coaches have left. They had to replace them coaches. The players left. They got to replace them players. So their situation might be a little bit different. A little bit different, you know. So, again, if you just work with those four elements, then you can comprehend what a ranking system is all about. You know, so again, if I go with the Surge in this situation, I'm going to say good player, great player, good system. Organization, I don't know, because I haven't seen the organization, but from what I've heard, it's been A1 organization. You know, from what I've heard, but we will see. We will see, because we got y'all on April 9th. April 9th is going to be on in San Diego. Football is here, folks. Football is here. Y'all sleeping. But I'm that early bear that like to wake up in the middle of hibernation and take everybody's food. You know what I'm saying? And snack on a fish. You know what I'm saying? That's how I am. Because you see how quiet it is on the main board. Nobody want to talk. Nobody want to say what's up. Everybody's being secretive. All of a sudden, there's no pictures on your website. There's no video. There's no mentioning of what, you know, who's playing. Nobody got their roster up. You know, and it's part of football that's backwards. You want to boast and brag about what you have, not hold it back. Because it doesn't matter. You still got to stop it. We still exchange films. It's like chess. I know your moves that you're going to make. Am I going to make the right move at the right time when you make the move? You know, that's football. So anyway, stop being super secretive. So, all right, that's 14. Let me get through the last one so I can move on to another topic. New York Sharks, like I said, always have been a great system, always have been a great organization, and always have had good coaches or coach. I don't even know if they replaced their coaches in the last 4 or 5 years. But I think they have new coaches this year. I really, really, really think. I got to do a little bit more homework. But, you know, so that's the bottom line. That's the 15. You know, like I said, go to top five, and after the top five, you can mix and match teams all up, you know. I don't know. We could be the number 25th team. We could be the number 60th team for all that the reality may be. But the fact is, we got to start somewhere. And week one, all this is going to change anyway. You know, so don't get offended. You know, like I said, use it for what it is. It's a marker of how people perceive you. And base it on the four elements that I talked about. Base it on how good your organization is. Base it on how good your coaching staff is. Base it on how good your system is. And base it, the last thing, on your players. Okay? That's my ranking system. That's how I go into this thing and talk about other teams. It's based on the three first and then the players. Because, again, I'm out to prove the point that I can be an up-and-coming team, be a playoff-contending team for the last 2.5 years, lose everybody on my team, and still contend for a playoff spot. Hell, we might go 4-4. But it's how do we go 4-4? Are we getting blown out 60-0 going 4-4? Or are we losing 35-28? Are we losing, you know, 38-35? Are we losing 3-0? That's how you determine how good a staff is. Okay, that is how you do it. Coach Duncan, I hear you on the air, baby, but are you going to say anything? Coach D, you there?
Well, I just called to say hello, you know, say how you doing, and I kind of heard a little bit. I was talking about the rankings early today. I don't know much about that stuff. I remember 2 years in a row they had us ranked at the top or number one or number two. But, you know, again, like you said, the game is played on the field no matter how good you are. The game is still played out on the football field. So that was
definitely. But yeah. I know you feel like the lonely stepchild who's been left out to go out and eat when your name ain't seen on the chart,
yeah,
right?
I feel left out because we of all the teams have won a division championship in all the leagues except the one we're in now. So
right.
We lost a lot of players like yourself, but we're not dead. And the thing is we'll be fine. It's again, we lost maybe 12 players and a lot of speed, but we still got a good team.
Yeah, and do you believe in my formula? Am I hitting the point? Do you think that a great organization?
The point when you said about the players moving around and stuff like that, I'm not saying they shouldn't move around. We don't own them, but you know,
right,
when we own them, we cannot tell them to go wherever when we're paying them. But no matter where you go, you still have to play the game, and the game is all about blocking and tackling. It's not about what you say or what you do or who I am. It's about blocking and tackling as a team. Now, you go to another team and you're not blocking and tackling together, the same thing is going to happen where you were before if your perspective is of winning. But my real deal, and anybody that's played for me, it's all about blocking and tackling. That's what it's all about. No matter
you know
who you are,
that's the fundamental,
no matter how good you think you are, it's all about blocking and tackling.
It's definitely about that. I mean, and that's what we work on. And like I said, you come to the football camp, and those are the things that we teach the women. You know, same thing with Coach Mark Ring. He comes there and teaches them the blocking aspect. You know, we teach them the tackling aspect. We teach them the running aspect and how to read. It's the fundamentals of football. You can be the best athlete.
Right.
And I tell my players about, you know, I can have the best quarterback that can throw the ball 50 yards, but if she ain't got nobody to block for her, she ain't going to never get the ball down the field 50 yards because she ain't going to have enough time to do it. I can have the fastest running back in the world, and I can pitch the ball to the right and left. But her line ain't blocking,
I think when you're
you
ranking, if you really know football, you need to do your book work on the past history of teams. Like our team, for instance, you know, we've been there. We haven't won the big one. We've won a lot of division championships, but, you know, that. Most of the girls, that don't mean a lot to them. They want to win it all, and I understand that. But when you do rankings, you better do your book work on the teams. You know, there's some teams on both sides that I think deserve to be there, and there's some teams on the other side deserve to be moved down. But who am I to say? I've never played them, but
right,
I read about them, and I'm like you. I keep up with them. I check out what they do all the time, but I look at teams that's been around a long time when you come to rankings, you know, the Dallases and the, you know, teams that's been around. You know, you've got to, I don't care who won last year. I kind of disagree with you on the other thing that you said about who won last year. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but you got some heavyweight teams moving over in the WFA. You know, I guess you have to unseat these people before you can move them down. But you got a lot. You got 14 teams that came over there, L.A. Amazons, you know, going right on down with Boston, Dallas. I mean, there's a lot of teams there, you know, that's coming over, the heavyweights, you know. So there's a lot to be said about a rankings before you put it out. It really is. I'm not saying I'm supposed to be at the top. I know I'm not because I'm starting over. But when you do rankings, you better look at where these teams came from, who they played, and all that. You got to really do your research. You really do.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing about that, Coach, is the fact that the teams don't have the research material out there. You know, somebody really can't go and see, you know, film on any of these teams on any public site outside of a highlight tape that most of us do. You know, and of course, when we do our highlight, we're highlighting whom? Ourselves. We're not highlighting our competition. We're highlighting ourselves. So you can't fault those who do the research and try to seek out the research, and but you can't find nothing. You know, everybody's top, you know, secretive. You know what I'm saying? If there was a site that we can all put our videos up on, it should be out there for the masses to see. And then we can start saying,
true.
Oh, so that's how they do such and such. You know, just like you lost to the Bay Area Bandits. You were kicking their butt all half long.
At a minute
you know,
and a half to go,
and
almost, and they had three touchdowns.
Yeah, you get they get an offside kick. They get something. So they could dominate maybe 5 minutes of the game, and they beat you. You know, but all people see is, oh, y'all lost to the Bay Area Bandits. But they didn't see that you
were
kicking
their
butt. Well,
it's the same thing
butt,
with Sacramento.
You know,
I mean, we lost a total of 5 points or 4 points or something like that with both games. I mean, that's, you know, it's a tough situation there. We played a good team. And we're a good team, but we played a good team.
And I'm not taking anything away from them, Coach. You know, but what I'm saying is the perception is, well, y'all just lost.
Yes,
you know,
we lost.
Just like we lost.
It wasn't ugly, but it was ugly because we lost.
Right, we lost.
When you do research, whoever does the rankings, I think they need to really do their bookwork before they stick something out there, you know, because – even the year they put us as number one or number two in whatever league we were in, I don't know if we deserved that. Yes, we have the athletes, but did we have the commitment from these girls? You know, it was a tough situation, you know. You know, you can have a lot of great athletes, but you can have a lot of hard-headed athletes, too. You can also have athletes that don't like to be coached. From where I came from, you want to be coached. A good team wants to be coached. Kobe Bryant wants to be coached. It's just that you have to coach a guy like that, you know. So I'm just saying that great teams are teams like, just for instance, Kansas City, they beat us. They had 22, 23 players when we went up there. And this was probably one of the most disciplined teams we ever played with 22 or 23 players. So you can't count a team like that out, Kansas City, but I don't see them ranked anywhere.
Right. Again, it's hard when you have to put a bottom line number on how many teams you're going to rank. Like I said, somebody's always going to be left out, you know, that's deserving. Just like the NCAA, when they were doing 64 teams for basketball, there was always somebody bitching and complaining about, you know, we didn't make it, and now we're in the NIT. So guess what? They added, what, four more teams or eight more teams into the tournament? And still, even when they add the eight more teams, guess what? Somebody still left out. You know what I'm saying? What about Team 73 and Team 74? How come they didn't make it? You know? So my thing is, that's what the playoffs are for. We'll play it out in the playoffs. But, again, it's just preseason. We just talking and reminiscing on last year and hoping that other teams will come around. That's all.
I'd like to speak on my camp, if you don't mind.
Oh, go ahead, man. This is my show.
You know, with the camp, I was there this year. I was supposed to be there the year before, but I wasn't. But I was there the year before that. But as a camp, I really had a good time. Coach Ring, myself, and a few other coaches, and the girls. Every girl there was very coachable. And that's what I really enjoyed. They were all coachable. They listened. I didn't have to say once to be quiet. Not once. They were all coachable. All
right.
And the thing is with the camp is you should want to go to a football camp to get better, to learn a bag of tricks, more tricks than what you know, if you know any. You got to have a bag of tricks to be a great player. I don't care what sport you play. So my thing is with the camp, I enjoy coaching it. And I just think if any woman in women's football want to get better, whether it's Coach Lee's camp or whatever camp, you should try to go. Because remember, boys started 7 years old. Women started an average age of about 23, 24 years old. So there's a lot you need to learn. I don't think coaches should hold you back and say, oh, this coach will never. It shouldn't be that way. They should want you to come learn more so it's easy for them to coach you. That's pretty much. I just want to speak on that because I really had a lot of fun.
Oh, well, you know, I enjoy you coaching. Like I said, we're going to try to move the camp into three other locations outside of Vegas next year. And like I said, it's going to be based on supply and demand. If the demand is there, we will supply the camp. But if we can't supply the demand by certain dates, then again, I'm not going to waste my money. The people don't realize a lot of this stuff come out of my pockets, Duncan. You know what I'm saying? You got me into this debt. You know what I'm saying? Telling me to come to this football 6 years ago. So I'm blaming you big time. And like I said, at some point in time, I got to cut it off. It got to become the responsibility of the players and the fans and all the other stuff. But I'm going to have the dates out there. Again, folks, you guys can go to womensfootballcamp.com. On the Ning board, as far as the planned dates, we have three other locations that we're looking to do it in, the north, the south, and the east. We are taking proposals on which city that we will host it in, and it's going to be based on geographical location, of course, facilities, and within a 4 to 6 hour drive of most of the teams, the most teams in the area. Because, again, we want to make it affordable for all to come, and that's why we are making every attempt to do four for 2012. So, again, go to womensfootballcamp.com, check it out. You can check it out on the Women's Tackle Football Group. Ning.com. BJ has extended the show for 30 extra minutes because Coach Duncan was on here.
I'll get off. I will get off, Coach.
Thanks
a lot.
I'm still in quarter number one, and we got four quarters left for this show. So anyway, we definitely going to make it there. But again, Coach, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
And I definitely appreciate you listening, and I learned a lot from you.
You too.
All right. All right, folks, that was my boy, Coach Duncan from the L.A. Amazons. Like I said, it's so easy to call in, you know, 347-826-7278. Again, 347-826-7278. Like I said, I dropped you in. I ain't got no timetable of how long, how many questions I'm going to ask. You know, that's what I love about this show. It's all about you. And if I can answer those questions, if I can come to some assistance, I'm here to do that. And so I don't know if there's any more callers, BJ, but I would like to get on with some more four quarters, Coach Lee. Like I said, we just got out of quarter number one. That was a whole hour, and that felt good. You know, just imagine if more of you guys, you know, spoke up and talked about what's going on in football. That's what this show is about. It's about stepping up, talking and saying what you know or what you don't know, and then going out there and learning and finding out for yourself. Hey, Marie, how you doing? All right. So once again, we're going to finish quarter number one and go to quarter number two. Let's see. Let me get back to my topic here. Quarter number two is... Oh, man, I'm walking around trying to lock up. I'm not at my computer. But anyway, quarter number two, let's talk about game day operations. You know, like I said, for some of you guys, it's going to be the first game of your season, first game of your organization, and some of you guys just don't know what's going to be taking place. Well, let me tell you, a hell of a lot. A hell of a lot. I hate opening the season, first game of the season, at home. For the last 3 years, I just requested I'd rather be on the road the first game. It's just a lot easier to bring in new players and not have to worry about all the internal things at home. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot easier to get the whole team together, put them on the bus, pack them up, and roll out, go to the hotel, relax, max, eat, then go out, play some football, and then come back so they can get that under their belt. So for those who are hosting a home game, something you got to think about. One, you got to make sure that your venue is secure, you know, meaning that you got parameters around the gates and things of that nature that is safe for your safe environment for your consumers and for your players and your coaches. The next thing, you want to present the venue in a professional manner as possible. If you got banners, if you got flags, if you got any decorative things, you know, make it an enjoyable event. You got to make it an event. You got to make sure that that the fans that come are going to be able to be happy and say, wow, that was worth my $5. Or, wow, that was worth my $10. Or whatever it costs to get in. You know, you definitely got to do that. You got to make sure the locker rooms are taken care of. Hey, D, can I have my keys? Hey, no bad game. So, again, you got to make sure that that takes place. Two, you got to make sure that you're a great host, that you put your team that you're playing into a nice hotel area or suggest a nice hotel. Make sure they made it safely, you know. Those are just some of the things you need to do, you know. Also get a fruit basket, a water bottle basket or something to make sure that the players are rehydrated when they come to your place. So like a little welcoming gift. From there, make sure you got a good announcer. There's nothing like going to a football game and it's a terrible announcer or no announcer. So please make sure you have a adequate game announcer. Okay, also, with that game announcer, give them a script. You know, they're not going to be as talkative as me. You know, not that they're going to be doing play-by-play. Not that they're going to be doing play-by-play. But give them a game script. I give my guy, you know, hey, a script. We open the gates at 4 o'clock. At 4:15, I want to make the first announcement. Welcome to the stage where your Las Vegas showgirls. We'll be playing such and such, such and such, or hosting, whatever. So you give them a kind of a script, okay? And then it's every 10 minutes he's making different announcements. You know, then we talk about, at this time, acknowledge these sponsors. You know, reminders, hitting your emails. I mean, not your email, but your website. So having a great script so that your fans are informative of what's going on. Also, make enough announcements of your sponsors. Again, this game is brought to you by, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It will be good if you have a spotter up in the booth with your announcer, you know, to help call out what numbers were on the tackles, to help do stats. They can be unofficial stats, you know. Just write down, number 15 ran 10 yards, number 15 ran 12 yards, and write that down so that at halftime, you cross-reference number 15, carry the ball 10 times for, you know, 120 yards. You know, that's a great experience. It ain't got to be official, but it can be close. Okay? Music. Have music. It's nothing like in between timeouts, in between plays, having music on. I know we have the world's youngest DJ, DJ Baby Chino at our game, and he's up there mixing and everything else. He's like a superstar at our game. He's like 9 years old, and he got all the little girls screaming his name, you know, at the gates and signing an autograph, and he'd get out there and dance during time. I mean, you got to entertain, you guys. You know, this is a show. It is a production. It is a perception of who you are as an organization. Do some raffles. We have this thing called Chuck-a-Duck as a fundraiser. We put together a couple of packets of T-shirts and autographed items for the team, and we sell the rubber ducks that we bought for, what, $50 for 300? $50 for 300 ducks? And we put numbers on them, and people, fans get to buy them. And at the end of the third quarter, they get to throw them into a little container. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. You need my keys?
Yes,
okay. Just put them on my desk. Yeah, it's on my right there. Okay. So again, we do Chuck a Duck. My daughter and my son fundraise. They sell 300 ducks a game, and I give them $25 each. That's $50. So I make $250 selling ducks, and I give away 3 T-shirts that cost me $9. But again, it's the fun. The environment of the game, okay? Have some good officials. Make sure you pay your officials. Make sure you have a good snack bar with cheap food. You don't want to have no $7 hot dog. Ain't nobody going to eat that. You want to buy you some dogs you can sell for $1. You know, that a whole family of 10 can buy, you know, $30 worth of food and get full. And again, make an announcement that the Snack Shack is open. We got Showgirl dogs. We got tackle deals, we got punt deals, you know, value meals, however you want to call it. You know, you want to have a good, what do I want to call that? You want to have somebody taking tickets. You want to be professional. You got to have somebody to meet and greet. You know, the first person that the people meet is going to be the impression of the organization. So you want someone with character and class and be entertaining and very refreshing as people come into your game, you know, if it's only one gate. You know, you want to have tickets printed up. You want to have a media guide, a program book, or something of that nature, you know, so that, you know, people are reading in between your warm-ups, you know, pictures with your organization in it where they can have autographs and stuff like that. So, again, that's really up to you. But you got to give them the experience, the game time experience, and making it right. Let's see. Yes, Mark, make sure the lyrics aren't offensive. I like that. I'm back in my office right now. Coach Ring made sure that, yes, have DJs play friendly, family-friendly music. There's nothing like going to a game and you got the first song that jumps off talking about pop that and shake that and drop them draws and no. You know what I'm saying? It's a family environment. You want people to feel that they can bring their 1-year-old to their 99-year-old to the game. Okay? You definitely want to do that. What else? You want to have something that they can buy, that they can wear, a T-shirt. Imani, make sure you put that stuff back up for me that you're working on, okay? All right. I'm almost done. 6 more minutes. You know, make sure that they can buy a T-shirt. If you only have one item to sell, just make it a T-shirt. That T-shirt lasts 5 years. 5 to 7 years, the average T-shirt lives in marketing your product. You heard me, 5 to 7 years, a T-shirt that costs you $3.50 will carry on for 5 to 7 years. Sell it for 10. Use round numbers. You know what I'm saying? Don't say 850. Don't say 1125. Use easy numbers. $5, $1, you know, $10. Anything over $10 might not sell. I'm just letting you know that. It's from my experience. What else? And then, of course, you want to have some kind of tradition. Do you guys run out of a tunnel? Do you run out of a balloon? Do you come out the locker room? Do you walk down the stands? You know, have some tradition that makes you unique. Do you have a theme song? I do. And y'all should know it. Las Vegas. Showgirls. Hey, we ballin'. What you gonna do about it? I got more people asking me to buy that song, you know, like it's the number one single. And it actually played on the radio station here, out here in Vegas. You know what I'm saying? Again, people buy into a branding. So again, go out and find somebody to write you a lyrically suggestive song promoting your organization. I know my man Food has done that.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
There it is. Come and play it, BJ. Uh-huh, yeah, hit it.
I'd like to introduce you to something special.
Yeah, something special.
Las Vegas. Shut up, girl.
Las Vegas.
Hey. Oh. But again, I personally don't like headphones on my ear.
I'm still like a player. I gotta feel the game. I gotta hear the game. So I would have the earphones on one ear and off the other, or I would have my other assistant coach listening in and talking and relaying messages upstairs. And that's just the type of coach I am. I have to be in the game. I can't be restricted to just hearing somebody talking in my ear, do this. When I'm asking you to look out for this. So personally, I like somebody up in the booth, but I just don't like to have the headphones on. Somebody else has got the headphones, and then I'm passing on the information. Hey, make sure they're looking on the backside. I need to know what's going on backside when they're on this set or whatever. Okay, you know. So that's me. There's some coaches that just love to be on the headphones, and there's some coaches that love to be up in the booth that are what I call play callers. Play callers are normally your offensive coordinators are really all up in the booth. Your defensive coordinators, if you look across the board, most defensive coordinators are on the field because you set the tone of the football field, I mean the game, and what's going on. So when you set the tone, you know, you got to be on the field. You got to kick some butt and yell and do whatever. So you got to be on the field. As a head coach, I've tried that. I've gone up in the booth and tried to stay up there for the first quarter and call plays. Calling plays, I can call plays better in the booth, but can we perfect those plays while I'm in the booth has been the issue. So, again, depending on your system, you know, I've been pretty successful running the system that I run where I am the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, and I have great coaches underneath me that are able to get what I want done. So again, it's your preference. In the women's game, I haven't seen too many coaches up in the booth. I've seen majority of all the coaches down on the field. I did get a chance to experience playing against teams that are in the booth, and yes, they are at an advantage. A case and scenario was when we went out to Missouri and played the Slam 2 years ago. They were able to relay some adjustments down a lot faster than my coaches were able to see some adjustments that we should have made. It wasn't until I got the film and said, God darn it, we should have did this. But also I got a chance to hear their coaches talk because they filmed the game and their coaches was in the same booth as the film. So I was getting to what he was getting to, you know. He was saying, watch this, and we were getting there. So he was able to see some things. Not that it necessarily stopped us. Again, I believe that the only one that can stop us is us. But you can get the mindset. And again, the thing about coaches, what I love about coaching is that we're such sharing creatures. We give so much information out or try to seek information about a team without going to the team directly and knowing that other teams are going to give us information. And then after the game is what I love the most because we go to each other, win, lose, or draw. Hey, especially if we don't play each other again, how did you do this? How did you know that? How did you prepare for it? How did you do this? That's the element of coaching. It's that Jedi mind trick that we play on each other. You know, how can I outfigure the other coach? And then once the game is over, we're able to sit there and talk about how we did it or how we didn't do it, you know. And, again, that's the learning situation. It makes us better coaches when we're able to open up and share information like that. That's why going to camps and conferences are so great because that's the information we share. How do we stop the spread? How do we stop the Delaware wing tee? You know, how do we run against a 46-bear defense? What is the best way to attack a 3-3-5? And then we try to implement that into our system that we run currently. Okay? So, again, being in the booth, is there an advantage? Yes, there is. Again, it's your preference. It's how you do what you do. You know, and if you do what you do and it works, then stick with it. Again, I can't be up in the booth. I've always been a defensive player. I've always been a defensive coordinator. I got to see the action, and then I need to relay the information. That's me. So So you hear me on the football field, you hear me talking about pass, run, this, that, da 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 as a defensive coordinator because I watch film 24/7. You know, I'm a film rat. And so I'm helping my team out by being on the field and alerting them to what's going on and what's taking place. So that's where we at. That's where we going. You pull it how you want to pull it, and we about to roll. You guys ready? Hey, let's lock up. I'm ready to go. I'm done. That's my family waiting on me. My son had basketball practice here, and my whole family's here, so you know we enjoy ourselves here at the rec center. But anyway, that's what I want to talk about. You know, I wish I had more time to talk to other coaches and get their feelings on, you know. Oh, Coach Ring, you online? My bad. What Coach Ring on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, sorry about that. I was walking around, make sure everything was locked up. What's going on? We got Coach Mark Ring from the San Diego Spurs in the house. You on Four Quarters, Coach Lee? What's happening?
Not a whole lot. Just real quick, you know, regarding being up in the booth or down the field. You know, as an offensive line coach, you know, I definitely prefer to be down on the field, you know, where you can get, you know, instant feedback to your players and get the adjustments done, you know, in between series that need to be done. But as a offensive coordinator, although the last 2 years I've called plays from the field, mostly because the team I was with didn't have headphones, I think that I prefer to call plays, you know, from the booth. You can,
mm-hmm.
You know, my feeling is you can take yourself out of the emotion of the moment and, you know, make possibly more rational decisions when you're up in the booth and sort
right.
of divorced from the situation.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the mindset of offense and defensive coaches, you know. Again, and the offensive line coaches are just like defense coaches. They're the most intense coaches out on the field. And they know how to light a fire under their players, you know, and that's what you got to do as an offensive line coach in a lot of cases. But as an offensive coordinator, you got to take the emotional aspect out of it. I'm 100% behind you on that. You know, you got to call it like you see it. You can't necessarily call it like you feel it, you know. So I am 100% behind you on that.
I think there is a bit of feeling the flow of the game and you know, and that's what I try to you know, talk to my quarterback, you know, in between series, and so especially if I can get the quarterback on the phones and talk him up, hey, what do you see, what do you like, you know, because I really prefer to run what the quarterback is confident in doing. So you get some of the feel from the quarterback, but you know, you don't want to be in a point where you're going, oh gosh darn it, that ought to work, and I'm going to call that right away. You know, you just now just relax and, you know, chill out and let your rational mind set things up for the next time instead of the emotion.
Yes, definitely that. But, you know, what about being on the field, and if you have headphones, are you one of the coaches that likes somebody in your ear throughout the game?
If I'm on offense, I don't like people in my ear other than to say, you know, maybe I'll call in the play. And then, you know, one of the other coaches will come up and say, hey, don't forget about this. I'll say, okay, thanks. But that's all I want to hear. You know, and then in between series, you know, when the defense is out in the field, then we can say, okay, hey, let's make sure we do this next series, da 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 da. But when I'm in the flow of calling the game, you know, no, I just a gentle reminder is all I want to hear. I don't want somebody nagging me.
Right, especially those receiver coaches. Those receiver coaches think that every pass pattern is open. You know,
it's true.
They sit there, coach. They open. Just throw it. But they're not looking at who's blocking up first. You know, they're not looking at if the run game is getting 4 or 5 yards to carry. Then we're gonna stick with the run game. You know? But them receiver coaches, they crack me up.
Well, what killed what kills me about receivers coaches are when they want to yell at the quarterback and for not getting rid of the ball or not, you know, doing whatever. And it's like, as soon as my guy was coming off the field, some of those receiver coaches were yelling at him. I'm like, hey, he's got enough to think about. Let me talk to him and we'll get it fixed. Don't you just stay out of it.
Right.
You know?
Definitely that.
You know, those quarterbacks have got to be coddled a little bit.
Oh. Okay, Kelly Money, cut the call off. Kelly Money, come in here real quick. She didn't finish what she's supposed to do.
All right, sorry about that. My daughter started something and didn't finish, and I got to get on her all the time.
No, you know, take care of your family. That's about all I had to say.
Oh, no, everything is good, Coach. You know, you guys are getting ready. I know that, and that's going to be great. Like I said, I can't wait till we get to going, and we go head-to-head on April 9th. It's going to be exciting. It doesn't matter what the product is on the field. I know we're going to get a good organization, a good coaches, and a good system.
Hey, babe, go to that one down here. Yeah, all the way down to the right. The stuff that's in there, you need to put away. All right. All right, Coach. I just realized that it's almost 8:30. The show is about to end, but I'm glad you called in because, again, we can't be afraid to come talk to Coach Lee. I mean, we just talking football here, you know? And you're one of the few coaches that just say, hey, you know what? I got something to say, too. And like I said, you're on point every time. That's why I like working with you at the football camp. I love coaching against you, and I love talking to you.
Likewise.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Coach. I will talk to you soon. BJ, I am ready to hit the button. I am ready to hit that wonderful music. If you can put that music on, that's what I'm talking about right there. Oh, shake it for me now. Let's go, y'all. All right, we have some special guests tonight. We have Coach Duncan of the LA Amazon. We have Coach Mark Green of the San Diego Surge. We have some great topics tonight, and we get a lot of feedback. So I am out of here. Talk to you guys later. Peace. The rhyme keeps